Hello, friends. Welcome to the Powerhouse. You're standing on hallowed ground. At least that's what it is to us oil field workers. Ever wonder where the oil boom started? Well, I'm here to tell you, it wasn't in Texas or Oklahoma or Saudi Arabia. It all started here in the Allegheny Mountains, right around here where you're standing now. In 1859, a fella by the name of Drake over on Oil Creek at Titusville sunk the first real well. Of course, American Indians, loggers, farmers, and even medicine show people used oil from surface seeps since way back, centuries ago. But it was Drake who started all the drilling and pumping that got the oil industry underway. The big find happened right near here in 1875 in the Bradford area. High quality and eventually high volume oil. Did you know that in 1881 this region produced over 90% of the country's oil? And it's still producing today. Well, enough about this old oil man's history lesson. You stopped by to learn about the old powerhouse, as most of us locals call it. Listen to it come to life. What you just heard is a 1920s model Cooper Bessemer 22.5 horsepower single piston engine. Unlike your automobile, which has 4, 6, or 8 pistons, the powerhouse engine has just one cylinder, fueled by natural gas, a common byproduct of oil wells. Sometimes we call it a one-lunger. Slow but steady, these one-lung internal combustion engines have plenty of power to run 8 or 10 wells at a time. In the early days, each well had to have its own power source. That was expensive, inefficient, and labor-intensive. A central powerhouse, like this one, brought efficiency and economy to the process. The central power, we always called it. This particular powerhouse is really just a big metal shed built out of scrap materials back in 1939. The engine provided power for the wells around it for about 50 years. In recent years, with the help of a lot of partners, the USDA Forest Service has restored it as an interpretive site. A few times a year, we old-timers join with the Forest Service employees to demonstrate this one-of-a-kind central power system. Of course, each system around here is one-of-a-kind because nobody had standard parts, and the land had too many variations for a one-size-fits-all power system. Here's how this one works. Hear that rhythm? It's the hypnotizing sound of a single piston engine moving back and forth, back and forth. To get the idea, stretch out your arm with your thumb pointing upwards. Make a fist. Now, pull your elbow back into your side with your forearm still stretched out. Now push your arm forward. Repeat this motion over and over again as though your arm's being driven by the piston engine. Now imagine your fist is concentrating the power from the engine to turn a great big metal wheel that's as tall as you are. That wheel is mounted to the rear of the engine. Attached to the wheel is a fabric belt about as wide as your hand is long. As the piston slides back and forth, the wheel spins and the belt turns. The belt is connected to another set of wheels called a jack shaft. The jack shaft is a post about as high as your waist with a wheel at the top around which the belt turns. This wheel is mounted vertically, like the wheel on a car. Now, set in a straight line running from your wheeled fist around the jack shaft wheel is an idler. It twists the belt that goes around your wheeled fist 90 degrees, or one quarter turn, so the belt of the idler is now horizontal, just like a belt you'd wear around your waist. This belt is now looped around another wheel. So you've got your fist pumping a vertical wheel that turns a belt on which the far end has been twisted a quarter turn to move a horizontal wheel, like a merry-go-round. This last wheel is called a band wheel, or eccentric. This entire mechanism is in the pump house to keep it clean and free of maintenance problems that could be caused by the weather. All this twisting and turning around all those wheels and posts drives the pump rods, which are hooked to the eccentric. As the eccentric turns, the metal pump rods push back and forth above the ground outside the pump house. On top of the background rhythm of the pump, the rods make their own music, with all their clinking and clanking and screeching going on. Like a spider's web, the rods radiate out from the powerhouse to each well. Walk over to the pump rods, feel them, and let them guide you to the pump jack as if you were a pumper inspecting your rod line. Is your rod line standing above the ground? Does the rod move back and forth freely? Now imagine the band wheel moving the rods back and forth in a piston-like action to get power to the pump jack. Feel how the rod is connected to the pump jack. The mechanical trick here is to transfer the horizontal energy of the rod to a vertical motion that pulls the suction rod up and down in the well. Think of a hand pump that you could push up and down to pump water from a well. The same principle works here, except the rod would be acting like your hand. Please turn the tape off for a while so you can explore, and turn it back on before you go. Welcome back. The powerhouse may sound complicated with all its wheels, belts, and changes in the direction of energy, but overall, it's a very basic energy-efficient system that all starts with that one long engine. If that engine could talk, it could sure share some stories about the 50 years it produced energy for the pumps in this field. Fortunately, some of the fellows who worked are still around to tell about their jobs at powerhouses. Here's Merle Joy to tell you about how the system works and some of his experiences.
When you come up here to start your wells, just walk me through and tell me what you do, the first thing
you
do.
Well, about the first thing you do when you step in the door, you usually light the hot tube. That's what does the ignition like a spark plug does on any other motor does. And then after it gets real white hot, why, you set the gas at a certain spot on your throttle, and then that's where the work is. That's when you go to kicking. Sometimes it kind of gets contrary, and you've got to kick maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and then again, sometimes it takes right off the first kick. And then after you get your engine running the right speed, why, you go around and hook whatever wells that you're going to pump first on. And as the wells keep the pumping off, well, you make changes to other wells or unhook them or something like that.
Is Bessemer engines pretty reliable?
Yeah, seems to be. There's a lot of them. Well, they've been kind of abandoned around here in the last 10 or 15 years quite a bit, or putting all of them. But anyhow, most of them was built in the early 1800s, so they run 75 or 80 years without much trouble. That one there is probably that old.
I guess you started these things all by yourself, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
Did you ever get hurt by one of them?
Nope.
Ever know of anybody that did?
Well, I've heard them talk about some saw over here around Raven Rock or someplace in there was kicking one time. I think it might have been a reed engine. When he kicked it, his foot slipped off and went through the spoke, and at the same time the engine took off to running, and I guess they just found him laying in pieces in there, just beat him to death. I've heard the old timers talk about that. I don't know. I suppose there's something to it.
Well, times have changed. The Bradford Field is no longer the oil-producing giant it was in the late 1800s, but it's still a productive area, contributing to the well-being of our economy and our natural resource-based industry. Here in the Allegheny National Forest, the powerhouse reminds us that this is a land of many uses. We appreciate your visit and encourage you to come back again. As long as folks like you take care of our country's natural and cultural resources, like this historic powerhouse, we'll all be able to enjoy our nation's heritage for generations to come.